Wisconsin Eye is in La Crosse with the 2015 Republican State Convention, interviewing the Dean of the Congressional Delegation, Congressman James Sensenbrenner. Thank you, sir, for taking time again.
Well, thank you for having me on again.
You are in the middle of one of the most interesting controversies in Washington, and perhaps one of the most important. You just passed the Freedom Act, which is in response to the potential expiration of the Patriot Act. Now, what most intrigues me is the House and Senate dispute, because the majority leader in the Senate wants a five-year extension. So let's start with, why would that be not wise policy for America?
It's not wise policy. An appeals court has already said that the NSA misread the Patriot Act, and it completely rolls over privacy and civil liberties concerns, which I think have to balance out national security concerns if we are to do this right. Now, I was the author of the Patriot Act. What happened in 2006 and afterwards is that the secret FISA court ended up expanding the Patriot Act much beyond what the original intent of Congress was. And I have said flat out that if Congress knew after 9/11 what the Patriot Act would be used for five and more years later, the Patriot Act never would have passed. I think we do need to give our intelligence and law enforcement communities some tools, and I hope that the Freedom Act strikes the proper balance that we thought the Patriot Act did 14 years ago, but evidently didn't do. Now, here's what it does. It bans bulk collection of electronic communications and records for Americans, period. Not only telephone records, but also texts and emails and Twitter and Facebook feeds, just flat across the board.
Just a question of clarification. Does it ban it by the NSA because my phone provider is going to continue to have that information and keep it for 3, 4, 5 years, sir?
No, the phone provider will keep it for 18 months.
18 months.
But the government will not have that information at all. Now, if the government wants to get that information, they have to show the secret FISA court specifically that there is a reasonable suspicion that somebody was engaged in terrorist activity. If they are able to demonstrate that to the satisfaction of the court will issue a warrant stating that the phone provider will provide the information of who that target was calling, and then two hops beyond that, meaning who he was calling and who the callers were calling,
right,
to the intelligence and law enforcement communities. This is only for foreigners. It isn't for Americans. Americans are subject to the regular criminal procedure where there's a much higher standard of getting the information, which means probable cause. The government doesn't have the phone records, which they do have now. There has to be a specific named individual for the phone companies to give out phone records of the target and two hops. And there is further transparency in the FISA court so that if they change policy, they have to let the Congress and the public know so that we don't find out about it because of a whistleblower. And Congress and the public can make any corrections are necessary in case there is an overreach like there was in the case of FISA court orders from 2006 on. Now, the Senate wants to extend the existing law, which means all of the bad stuff, all of the overreach, all of the things where the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said that the FISA court ignored the plain reading of the law, which I authored, would end up being ratified and blessed. And that is outrageous. And, you know, I think that Senator McConnell really has to realize that there have to be some privacy and civil liberties protection in order to get the public support for the national security component of that, which does mean increased surveillance, but only increased surveillance over those who have a reasonable suspicion that they're going to be up to something bad in this country.
You and other House leaders on this issue, I get this from your website, have said absolutely under no circumstances will the extension sought by the Senate Majority Leader be signed into law. Doesn't that raise the prospect of the Patriot Act going out on June 1 because that's its termination date, sir?
Well, it certainly does. The Senate has got three options. You know, one is to pass my bill, which is supported by the President and by an overwhelming bipartisan majority in the House of Representatives. The second is to pass a straight extension, which will not become law and will not pass the House. And the third is to let the law lapse. And it is not just the business records or Section 215 part of the law, but it's also the lone wolf terrorism provisions and also allowing federal judges to issue wiretap orders on cell phones because the old law, which was passed prior to cell phones being invented, only applied to landlines within a certain federal judicial district.
How does the emergence of ISIS and the new fears that it poses, how has this changed the debate over the Patriot Act, Congressman?
Well, there are those that will say that ISIS has increased our threat, so we need to have this surveillance. ISIS has increased the threat. There's no question about it. The FBI director has said that there are ISIS cells operating in every state except Alaska, which means here in Wisconsin as well. What I can say is that with all of the surveillance that has gone on since 2006, there might be one potential terrorist strike that was nipped in the bud as a result of bulk collection. And I say that the Boston Marathon bombers, the Tsarnaev brothers, their phone records were never looked at, even though the Russians said that they were bad boys, and one of them spent 6 months in Chechnya learning how to make bombs and be terrorists. And you know that Vladimir Putin would not give us that type of intelligence information unless it was in his interest as well as ours that these folks be nabbed before the bomb went off and the brother that was in Chechnya ended up being killed by the police as he was trying to flee.
In the wake of the Snowden leaks, you said, I think, from the podium at the convention that the public has really become concerned about their privacy rights. How have you seen this when you've held your town meetings or gone around the nation, sir?
Well, right after the Snowden leaks, practically everybody came to the town meetings and said this is bad. Now, the thing is the whole issue of surveillance and the Patriot Act really has not been front page news for a number of months. The House passed a version of the Freedom Act last May. When the Democrats controlled the Senate, Senator McConnell successfully filibustered against passing the Freedom Act, even though I told him it probably was a good idea to let it pass because that way it would be off the table and he didn't have to deal with it as we were coming up against the June 1st expiration date of these three important parts of the Patriot Act. Two of the three parts of the Patriot Act, there's no real controversy over. It would be regrettable if the controversy over business records and how many should be taken and where they should be stored ended up dragging the lone wolf terrorist provision and allowing the federal court to issue wiretap orders against people who have cell phones and jump across state and federal district judicial lines all the time.
As a dean of the congressional delegation for our state, you've done a lot of deals. How do you see this issue playing out, assuming that the Patriot Act is not going to be repealed on June 1?
Well, this next week is going to be kind of tense. You know, the first test will be is that Senator McConnell is going to try to shut off a filibuster that he started against my bill, which he said he doesn't like, which is his prerogative. And his bill, which is a 60-day blessing in continuation of what the NSA has been doing up to date. Now, if he can't get the 60 votes to overcome that filibuster, then basically the Senate is going to pass nothing with a June 1st expiration date. I would hope that the senator would come to his senses. The fact that the Freedom Act, which is my bill and which did pass the House with a huge bipartisan majority and has the support of both President Obama and the Republican and Democratic leadership of the House of Representatives, you know, this is a bipartisan response to a legitimate issue that ended up coming to light after the Snowden leaks. I can't in good conscience, and I don't think the American people can in good conscience, agree to having the NSA grab every American's phone records as well as all of their electronic communications, regardless of what modem those communications used. You know, if there ever was Big Brother government and no individual freedom, that sure is it. And I want to restore that balance between individual freedom and privacy and national security. And I believe that the Freedom Act does that by targeting the surveillance against those where there is evidence that there's a reasonable suspicion that there's about ready to pull off a terrorist strike somewhere here in the homeland.
Do you find it ironic that Democratic Senator Feingold might have cast the correct vote by being the only vote against the Patriot Act, sir?
Well, no, Senator Feingold did not cast the correct vote then when he voted against it. The thing is that the Patriot Act, as it was originally written, did have that balance. And it was only after I left as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, sending rather pointed oversight letters to Attorneys General Ashcroft and Gonzalez, that the Justice Department asked the FISA court for ever-increasing power over grabbing records. And bulk collection did begin under the Bush administration, but it got much more pervasive and comprehensive under the Obama administration. So what started out being bad under Bush got much worse under Obama. And my first conversations with President Obama, you know, was that I was really, you know, attempting to harm national security. The president has come around, and I give him a lot of credit for it. And what I can say is that the Freedom Act is actually what I hope will be a successful effort to limit the president's authority to do whatever he wants to do, whether it's this president or any of his successors. And that is kind of a great leap on the part of President Obama, who has told Congress and the public repeatedly that he has a pen and a phone and is going to basically do what he wanted to by executive action. My bill, if it becomes law, will restrict this president and his successor on what they can do on surveillance and what they can do invading all of our privacy.
Your party has run Congress now for a few months again. Any major successes in getting Congress to work efficiently again under your party, sir?
Well, we came out on a slow start. You know, this week, you know, I can say we did three major bills. We did the Pain-Capable Abortion Ban Act, we did the Freedom Act, and we also sent the Defense Department Authorization Bill for the next fiscal year over to the Senate. The week before that, we passed two appropriations bills. That was the earliest time the House had passed an appropriation bill in many, many years. So, you know, we are getting our act together. The Senate, as you know, has got a filibuster rule. Thank heavens we don't have one of those in the House of Representatives. So I think we've been able to get some things done. You know, for my standpoint, with the Freedom Act, in the red zone. It's not over the goal line yet, but it's in the red zone. The next two things I'm going to be doing are in the criminal justice area, which is to reform the civil asset forfeiture law, where a lot of innocent people have had their assets forfeited and sold and the proceeds used for law enforcement. And we've had a couple of really outrageous instances here in Wisconsin. And then the Second Chance Act reauthorization, which basically aids people who are about ready to get out of prison to have a second chance and not end up in prison either sooner or later. And after that, I'm going to tackle overall criminal justice reform, including prison reform. So I've got a lot on my plate, but you know, I can honestly say I think that these are things that are overdue to be done and will provide meaningful reforms that will, I hope, make the American people safe. You know, I'm all for locking up drug pushers and people who commit violent crimes, but we've got a lot of people in prison for minor drug offenses that don't have to go to prison, and we can put in, you know, some kind of supervised release program like we have the Huber Law here in the state of Wisconsin. Because I think the thing that people learn in prison the most is how to become a hardened criminal if a person is there the first time. And it's, I think, in our public interest to prevent that from happening wherever possible.
You've seen a few presidential campaigns in your tenure. Is it healthy that there's 12, 14, 16 GOP candidates who are either running or expected to run,
you know,
sir?
You know, hey, Steve, we got the talent. They only got one that's that's running, and I think that you know, that shows that that they don't have the talent. And I don't think American people like coronations, you know, necessarily. And they would like to see Mrs. Clinton be tested within her own party. But you know, I don't think that either Senator Sanders or former Governor O'Malley will be able to do that. You know, I fully support what RNC Chairman Priebus is doing, you know, and that is controlling how the debates between the 14, 16, 18, 20 Republican right. candidates for president will go. And the enforcement mechanism on that is that if somebody goes off and goes on MSNBC or some other kind of hostile network with less than an impartial moderator, they won't be invited back to the RNC-sponsored debates. So I think that we've got a better control over it, and I think that also having our convention at the end of June in Cleveland rather than at the end of August is going to make for a much more competitive race, particularly against Mrs. Clinton's millions that she's been able to collect one way or another.
What's at stake in the 2016 presidential election? And more importantly, what's your fear if Hillary Clinton is elected president,
well,
sir?
I think that, you know, the real issue in 2016 is whether Hillary Clinton's election will be a third term for Obama, just like Obama was able to convince the voters in 2008 that John McCain's election was a third term for Bush. Now, if there was a Republican senator that gave Bush more headaches, it was John McCain. So the divergence in emphasis and on some issues was pretty marked, but the voters didn't believe that. I think that Mrs. Clinton is going to try to say the divergence between her and President Obama is pretty stark, but you got to remember Hillary Clinton was a member of Barack Obama's cabinet for 4 years, and cabinet officials, if they want to keep their job, have got to toe the party line as enunciated by the elected president of the United States.
Very good. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, thank you so much for talking to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Thanks.